people turn with me to the book of Ruth, and this is Mother's Day, and I didn't know it when God gave me this message a few weeks ago that this was my Mother's Day message, but worked out pretty good. I didn't have to have one prepared after the prophecy update last night, and so we are glad that we have so many ladies here today. This is a day to honor women. You are either a physical mother, or you are a spiritual mother, or you are a mother to a brother or sister, but God put a nurturing spirit in every woman. Amen. I love watching Carolyn with our new little dog, Mr. Spock, because God has given her the spirit of nurture, you know. And, you know, us whiny men, sometimes we take advantage of that nurturing spirit with our wives, don't we? Honey, I don't feel good. You know, we want to be nurtured, right? And so God has put a nurturing spirit in women. And the title of the message is Going Through the Change. Unfortunately, there is something that women go through, and we're not going to dwell on that. But this is not about that. It's about going through the change in our lives when we don't want something to change, but it changes. Amen. It's the story of the book of Ruth. The whole book of Ruth is about change. Amen. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, who dwelt in the country of Moab, and he and his wife, the two sons, the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and so the women survived her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return to the country of Moab, for she had heard the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, her and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to the two daughter-in-laws, "Go return each of you to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And so she kissed them, and they lifted their voice, and they wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices, and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me." And so we're not going to read the whole book. I just kind of wanted to set the stage. Most of us know the story of Ruth. And so Ruth had a husband and two sons. She expected to have a nice house with a little white picket fence, because that's what women think, right? They have their future planned. They are nurturers. They have everything planned out. I want to have a little garden, and I'm going to have grandkids at my side someday. But for some reason, change began to take place. First of all, the change took place is that they moved. How many of you guys know that sometimes moving can cause stress? Amen? We know that, right? And moving can also disrupt your pattern. Sometimes you have a pattern where you get up and maybe you pray in the morning, or you have your home church. And when you move, you get pulled out of those environments, and those can not only affect you emotionally and physically, they can affect you spiritually. Change can affect you spiritually. They were going through the change. And so they moved, and then, okay, well, you know, there was a famine, we're going to move here, and now, okay, here's where I'm going to have my house with my little picket fence, and everything's going to be nice and cozy. And then all of a sudden, your husband dies, and then your two sons die, and now you're left with these two women who are your daughters-in-law, and you're going through the change again. You're like, my gosh, will this ever end? What is going on in my life? I am going through these changes. We ask God to change our life. We ask God to change our marriage. We ask God to change our health, even our ministry, our finances, our occupation, and even our attitude. God, change my attitude. Help me to be more like Jesus. And then change comes, and we wonder, why am I going through this change? Because you asked for it. Amen? You cannot ask God to change you without God changing your environment. Amen? God changes our environment so he can change you. And then when the change comes, we want to duck out from under it. We want our safe, cozy little, everything's safe again. But God sends us through the change. We want God to change our situations without changing us. And it is God that causes us to go through the change. Naomi was closed, heartbroken, full of despair, numb to feeling. How many of you guys have ever been numb? You were so hurt. You were hurt about your situation. You didn't understand it. God did not make sense. You were just numb because of what was going on. My world has been turned upside down. How can you do this to me, God? I thought you loved me. What is going on? Why is everything falling apart around me? She was numb. She was full of despair. She was cold. She was empty. In verse 21, we read where she tells the people around her, I went out full and I've come home empty. She's empty. Naomi is empty. Sometimes change brings us to the place where we feel empty inside. Just empty. You know, oftentimes you will read articles about someone. You know, there's certainly been a lot of shootings in the last few years, haven't there? You know, dating back to Columbine, and then it seems like every year somebody is going in and shooting people. And you'll read these interviews about the roommate of that person or someone who knew that person, and they will say they just looked empty inside. Their eyes were just black, and they just looked empty inside. Something can happen in someone's life, and you wonder, how could someone do that? They went through some kind of change. Something changed them. They were empty. They were full of despair. They were once full. Now they're empty. Naomi was empty. They went through the change. Naomi tells Ruth to go away, but she does not. This is God's way of telling you, I'm not finished with you yet. Have you ever said to someone, I don't need your help, but they keep coming. I don't want to be there, but they're still there. I don't want you in my life, but they're still in your life. This is God's way of saying, I'm not finished with you yet. Amen? We think that we are in control, but God is in control. We think we're trying to set things straight, and we don't want this thing happening, but God won't let it not happen because God's not finished with you yet. There is a person in your life that God wants you to minister to, even if you don't want them in your life. Going through the change. Amen? Going through the change. This is God's way of saying, I'm not finished with you yet. You're going to love again. You're going to live again. You're going to breathe again. Tomorrow is another day. Amen? It's going to be all right. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Hey, Tom, could you give me a little glass of water? Thank you. Just a little cup. That'd be fine. Now, Ruth is also going through the change. They have a common shared grief. You know, the Bible says, weep with those that weep. Sometimes if someone is grieving, you don't tell them jokes. I've done that before. Anything that can be done wrong, I've probably done it before, I tell you. We learn by doing, don't we? They're both going through change. They're both shared grief. There is young pain and there is old pain. You know the difference between young pain and old pain is? Young pain, the pain seems worse. It's more prickly, but they get over it quicker. Old pain is pain on top of pain that you've had pain on this and pain on that, And it's old pain. It's just another chapter of pain. And it doesn't seem as prickly. Thank you, brother. It seems more of a gnawing pain. And it doesn't go away as quick. Because you've been there before. Oh, not this again. Going through the change. Young pain versus old pain. Now, here's the beautiful thing. The one you are encouraging, are you ready for this? Encourages you. I said the one you are encouraging encourages you. Have you ever, now I've done this many times, have you ever spoke to someone and you begin to give them godly advice and you begin to quote scriptures and they're coming back at you as quick as you can give them to them and you realize that you're not only preaching to them, you're preaching to yourself. Amen. And so sometimes God will bring someone with old pain, will bring someone with young pain, and as you try to minister to them, you are ministering to yourself. It's coming back to you. The one you are encouraging is encouraging you. Sometimes the very fact that you have to get up and do something for someone that can't do something for themselves is what keeps you going. I've heard people say, you know, I would have slipped into depression, but I knew they needed me, so I had to get up and I had to fix some breakfast, or I had to do this, or I had to do that. And oftentimes, depression comes in what women call the empty nest syndrome, when all the kids are gone and their purpose seems to have stopped, and that's when they just feel blah. The one you are encouraging encourages you. Ruth was also grieving. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Great pain. Some of you guys have gone through great pain. Some of you went through change and you didn't understand it. The olive has to be crushed before the pure virgin olive oil can be poured. Amen. And God is wanting to pour pure oil from you onto the life of someone else. And you have to be crushed first so that oil can be released. And this is what God is doing. This is not the devil. This is God in this thing. You're going through the change. It's going to be all right. Bitterness. You cannot be bitter. You cannot be bitter. You cannot carry your bitterness. You must divorce your old days to engage your new days. You have to divorce your old problems so that you can engage your new days. You will never birth a new thing until you divorce the old thing. You will never be pregnant with a vision from God that God wants to birth in you until you can divorce your old bitter pain of what's happened. That was then, this is now. Say that with me. That was then, this is now. One more time. That was then, this is now. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. God does not desire me to live in yesterday. Doesn't want me to rehearse and play over the record of what he said or she said or what happened or my losses. God is looking for a man who's got his hand on his plow, a woman who has the hand on the plow and the eye on the horizon is saying, bless God, I'm going through. It doesn't matter what has happened. I am going to finish the race. Amen. Hallelujah. Bitterness. We have to get rid of bitterness. You cannot hold on to the past. It will destroy you. Have you ever known someone who was codependent? Everybody is codependent to a certain degree. They are enablers. They enable people. They think it's love, but it's not love. It's enabling. You want them to be happy, so you do something for them. Sometimes we do that with our kids. We keep enabling our kids. At what point are you going to quit carrying that kid around on your hip and feeding them milk? Amen? At what point are you going to set them aside and quit feeding your bitterness? Your bitterness is just like a codependent parent that keeps taking care of their children. They will never outgrow that childness. They will always be dependent upon you, and your bitterness is like a child of a codependent parent that you're carrying it around and that you keep feeding it with your words. Well, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know my situation. I lost my husband. I lost my sons. All I've got left is two daughter-in-laws. And she is bitter. Naomi is bitter. And you got to stop. Quit feeding your bitterness. It's different. It's uncomfortable. Cindy's not here this morning, but you know, when my first wife passed away, she gave me a book. I'd never heard of the book. It's called Where's My Cheese? How many of you guys have ever heard the book? Most of you haven't. I found out later that it's one of the most popular books about going through change. In fact, when corporate America has a big layoff, they give this book to all their employees. It's about these mice who know where the cheese is. It's familiar. We always go down this way, over this way, back this way, and the cheese is there. Only one day, this mouse is like, where's my cheese? Somebody moved my cheese. What do we do? And it goes through all of the emotional things that we go through when our world is shaken, when our familiar is taken away, when what we knew that was always there is not there anymore. Be it you've lost a job you've had 20 years, or you lose a loved one, or something happens, and you're like those, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm insecure. I don't know how to do it. Should I do this? Should I not do this? What if I go out there and this happens? What if someone hurts me? What if someone gets me? Where's my cheese? Lost the familiar. When we lose our familiar, we experience a pain, a numbness. We have to divorce the pain. Some people often numb the pain with alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is, just to forget the pain. But God doesn't want us to numb the pain. He wants us to divorce the pain and move on. Amen? Everything is unfamiliar. When Naomi came back, everything was unfamiliar. The people in Bethlehem, they knew everything. How many of you guys have ever went back to a hometown you lived in 20 years ago and everything was unfamiliar? You know, hey, where's that building? Well, they tore that down and put a supermarket over here. And oh, I used to love, and Carolyn and I were talking about this the other day. A lot has changed in Tulsa. She was saying a lot has changed in Michigan, you know, in her hometown. And this has changed, and this has changed. And so we understand that when Naomi came back, things weren't familiar anymore. That can create a great insecurity. We lose our familiarity. But the key to surviving the change is the sponsor. Amen. The sponsor. You see, Ruth had a sponsor, and it was Naomi. Ruth had a sponsor, and it was Naomi. That's that person who is your cheerleader in your life. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever had a cheerleader? You know, Brother Moon was my cheerleader. Even after we started Faith Fellowship, I leaned heavily on him back in 2006. And you know, I'll never forget the day I went to him and I began to sob on his shoulders. And you know what? Being a man of God, he quoted the word to me. I will not fear, what can man do to me? I felt the Holy Ghost just run down my backbone. We need a cheerleader. We need a sponsor in our life. Someone who is a man or woman of God that can encourage us in our darkest hours. Jesus' sponsor was John the Baptist. Timothy's sponsor was Paul. And Naomi was Ruth's sponsor. Sponsors introduce you to your next level in God. Can I pause there for a minute? Sponsors introduce you to your next level in God. They are the ones that tell you, you got to get up. You got to shake this thing off. God's got something for you. You got to go forward. Your sponsor takes you to your next level in God. The change is the next level. You see, where's when is this change going to stop so I can get to the next level? The change is the next level. God brought the change. The change is the next level. When you are going through the change, you are going to the next level. Amen? You don't pray off the change. You embrace the change. You don't shake off the change. You say, God, this is God doing something in my life. I have prayed that God would change my heart. I prayed that God would change my attitude. I prayed that God would change my situation. And now I'm going through the change. God is doing this thing. God is at work in my life. Amen? The change is the next level. You thought you were smart. You had it together. Others are foolish. But you got it all together. And then your world changes. You see, it's God who's the potter, and we're the clay. The clay doesn't know more than the potter. Did you know that? The clay does not know more than the potter. The clay is the lump. The clay is a big lump that is laying there waiting on the potter to begin to mold it into the vessel that he wants it to be. Have you ever watched a potter on a potter's wheel? You know what the first thing they do? They get a handful of water and they slap that lump. They slap it hard. And then they start it spinning at these huge speeds, right? Have you ever felt like your world is spinning out of control? Hang on, brother. It's the potter's hand. And then after they start molding it, then as they mold it up into a cylinder, they take the thumb and they shove it right down the middle of the brain of that clump of clay. Just, and then they begin to bring their hand up and mold it into a cup, a vessel able to hold something that the potter's wanting to pour in it. The Bible says that God has given us this precious gift that he's poured into us, that we are just a vessel, and that he's poured this precious gift into us so that we can feed others with it. Amen. He's the potter, and we're the clay. He's the potter, and we're the clay. Change is the next level. I don't know more than God. God's the potter. God has got it all figured out. Amen. Now, what does change do in our lives? Let's just take a minute. What does change do? Who can tell me what change does in our life? Anybody at all? What does change do? What do we notice when we go through a change? What do we see about ourselves when we go through changes? Strength. Who said that? Come on up here. I'm going to ask you to help me. You didn't know you were getting yourself in trouble. You're not in trouble. You're just going to help me. So you see strength come from change. Hold this glass of water for me. Turn around. I'm not going to. Trust me. It's cool. You might want to hold it like this. All right? Now shake it just a little bit. No. Shake it like that. There we go. Did I scare you? Okay, you can go sit down. Now, what happened? Let's give her a big hand. Yay! Now, what happened when we shook the glass? What was that? Okay. Besides that, when we shook it, what came out? Water came out. And why did water come out? Eddie's heard this before, huh? Some people say water came out because you shook it, but the reality is, water came out because that's what was in it. When we go through change and God shakes us, one of the things that happens is we see what's really inside of us. We think we're spiritual, but we find out when we go through the shaking that there's some ugly things inside of us. There's bitterness, and there's anger, and there's jealousy. And we never knew those were in there until God shook us and revealed to us our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so not only does God bring us change to bring us to the next level, God brings us to change to show us what's down deep on the inside. And sometimes we're tempted to blame the shaker. Well, I wouldn't have done that if he hadn't have done this and he hadn't done that. But we have to understand that God brings the shaker. And it's not the shaker's fault. You're driving down the road and someone cuts you off in traffic and you get mad at them. Don't get mad at them. They're the shaker. If you don't have anger in you, anger won't come out of you. Amen? God uses shakers to show us what's inside. Now, friend versus enemies. Ruth and Naomi became very close, and that's God's way. But often, this kind of change can cause the opposite. It's the nature of people in crisis to blame. Say blame with me. Blame. Right? And that's what I said. You know, sometimes we blame the shaker. It's the nature of people in crisis to blame people. We can blame friends and co-workers, husbands, wives, self, and how many of you know sometimes we can even blame God. God, how can you do this to me? I thought you loved me. I actually said that to God. You know what preachers say is, God, I was working for you. I was praying. I was reading my Bible. I was preaching the word. How can you do this to me? We want to blame someone. Now, the role of my sponsor is to tell me how to find my Redeemer. You see, we all say, oh, yes, I know Jesus. But you know what? In the middle of change, it's hard to see Jesus in all that. Have you ever said, where is God in all of this? Right? The purpose of my sponsor is to help me find my Redeemer. Now, what she told Ruth, Naomi told Ruth about the kinsman Redeemer, she said, go and lay at his feet and let him cover you with his train, right? With his cloak. Come under his covering. She had to come under his covering. You will never graduate the test until you submit to Jesus' will, Jesus' word, and Jesus' lordship. You have to submit to the Lord. You have to come under his lordship. Amen. Now, we all know that. That's all easily said. But in the middle of a crisis and change, when you're trying to fix it yourself and you're scared and you're insecure, you're like those mice, where's my cheese, where's my cheese, where's my cheese? You have to stop and say, Lord, it doesn't matter the emotions I'm going through in this change. I know that I have to let you lead. I have to be still and wait on God. Hard to wait on God, isn't it? Before she came under him, she was a reaper in the field. After she came under him, she owned the field. Before you can submit to Jesus, you are just another person. But when you humble yourselves and come under his lordship, then the riches of heaven are yours. See, so many oftentimes the word submission is a bad word, especially in light of the 1960s and the feminist movement. The word submission is a byword. It's a bad word. It leaves bitterness in the mouth of many women who go, nobody going to tell me what to do. But when we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we cease working in the field and we begin to own the field, because the very treasures of heaven are ours when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Amen. Now, the young girl had a king in her, didn't she? Ruth, Obed, Jesse, David, and then the lineage of David, Jesus. God is wanting to birth something in you and birth something in me. The reason the Titanic sank, they had forged the metal, but the metal hadn't been tested in all of the environments. And in those days, the technology of metallurgy was not what it is today. And what they didn't know, that in the icy waters, that metal became like peanut brittle. And you know what? The change in temperature is what caused the Titanic to sink. We understand that change is going to happen. And change in our lives can either cause us to sink or cause us to get stronger. It's really up to us. Jeremiah 29:11, come up, Nola. Most of us know this verse quite well. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Today, you're here by divine appointment. Maybe you're going through some changes, but God has a plan for your life. Maybe you have blamed the shaker for what you're going through. Maybe you blamed somebody else. Maybe you said, well, this wouldn't happen if they hadn't done this, or I wouldn't be feeling this way if that hadn't happened. But God allowed the shaking to happen to show you what's on the inside, to show you your attitude, to show you your angerness, maybe to show you your bitterness. And I'm here to tell you today, God loves you and he has plans for your life. Amen. And just because you're going through a change right now doesn't mean that God isn't there. Just because maybe you haven't seen God answer a prayer doesn't mean that God doesn't answer prayer. That God is taking you from Moab back to the promised land. God is taking you from leaving full and coming home empty back to the grandmother of the king. Amen. God is doing this thing. This is taking you to the next level. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask. Now, I know we have some men here, but it's Mother's Day, and so I'm going to ask you men to suck it up, okay? Just suck it up. I want to minister to the ladies today. And I'd just like to ask the women of the church to come across here and let myself and the men pray for you. And I don't know if you're going through a change or not. Maybe this message isn't for you at all. Maybe everything's hunky-dory, and maybe there's no problems going on in your life. Just make a straight line. Step back here so we don't... Yeah, just make a straight line across, and maybe this is not for you. Maybe you're not having... Men, come on up. Put a hand on the shoulder. Come on, ladies. Come on. Come on. Don't be bashful. Come on. Come on up. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Everybody's staring at you. Come on. We're going to be pushy. We're going to be pushy. Come on up. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Just find a place in line here. We're not going to keep you long. Don't worry. Come on, let her in, let her in. Slide down, slide down. There we go. All right, come on, come on. You're a lady too. You're not a lady. You got to get behind them. This is Ladies' Day. There you go. You can get behind them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Women are nurturers. There is no man alive today that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a woman. Can I get an amen, ladies? And I'm here to tell you, we love women. We thank God that God gave us women. And when we go through changes in our life, we can be confused, we can feel despair, we can say, I came home empty. But I'm here to tell you, God is wanting to fill you up today. Amen. And so I'm going to pray. And ladies, if you want, well, no, we don't have to. We got men behind. I just want to make sure somebody has a hand on someone. So if there's nobody, not enough men behind, ladies, grab a shoulder or a hand or whatever. Let's make sure everybody gets prayed for. And I'm not going to go through and pray for everybody individually. I'm just going to walk down and kind of pray as we go. But let's pray for each other on each side of us right now, that God helps us get through the changes that we're going through, that God fills us, that God meets our needs, that we let go of bitterness, that we find our sponsor, that God brings us to the next level, and that we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ so that we, Lord, can be impregnated with your plan for our life, that we can birth what you want us to birth in this world, and that we know that you're not finished with us yet, that you have a plan for our life, a plan to give us hope and a future. In Jesus' name, Father, I just pray right now for each woman here this morning. We ask that you meet every need in their life. Help them divorce themselves from bitterness and embrace, Lord, your plan for their life. We know no good thing will you withhold to those who walk uprightly. We've purposed in our heart, we are going through. We may feel like we came home empty, but we know, God, you're the God who fills us. You're the God who meets every need in our life. You're the God who equips us. You're the God who, Lord, gives us everything we need, Lord. And this morning, in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we receive healing. Emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, and we are persuaded that nothing the devil can bring will keep us from your appointed plan for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Give someone a big hug. And before you leave, we have a flower for the ladies today. And so we want to make sure everybody gets one.